Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code SPOTIFY for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is the Boop Show for, I don't know, Monday, February 5th, 2018, episode 163. What? Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the BOOP show. It's, like I said, 163 with Scott Johnson, Brian Ibbett. I do this every time. I can't help it. I do a daily podcast with the guy. The name just sticks. It's hard. I can't stop. And today I called him Dunaway.
Nice.
Yeah.
Whatever, Mom. Oh, I mean, Scott.
I mean, Dad. Hey, everybody. Sorry. That was dumb. It's nice to see you all. We hope you're all having a great week, and it's only started, so buckle in. Stock market's down today. I don't know what that means. We were trying to figure out what video game causes could be there for the stock market crash. And Brian, you had a theory. What was it?
It was the JRPG. Prices were just too high.
They're Square Enix charging too much for Final Fantasy re-releases, and finally toppled the market from its bubbleless heights.
I was really hoping it was cryptocurrency had took a big old face plant so I could get some video card upgrades cheaper, but...
Yeah. Oh, that's, and that's Jimmy to Times says maybe it's the graphics card scandal thing deal going on with everybody buying graphics cards up just to use them for cryptocurrency mining and not for video games. Maybe that something.
Probably not. I blame the Eagles.
Yeah.
Everything was fine yesterday before, you know, before the Super Bowl.
Was it? I thought it crashed on Friday and Thursday. Not as hard though. I thought they were. Yeah, I thought so. We were already in a little bit of a downspin.
Okay, so you poked holes in that theory. whatever.
None of these theories are holding up. None of them pass muster, as the kids say. Mustard or muster? How does it go?
Mustard.
Hold on. Passing must.
You got to pass the mustard. You can't pass muster. Nope. What is muster? That's it's when you muster strength, right?
It's mustard. It's actually muster. Passing muster. It's originally, I can't read all these words. Ten comically.
I don't know.
Oh, here they go. Here are the 10 most commonly misused English British expressions. Would you like to hear them?
Oh, please do, because this is a video game podcast, and I can't wait to hear it.
Muster, not mustard. That's the first one.
So pass the muster.
Yeah, it should be. The expression you're aiming for is pass muster, a state of being where you've been tested and come through with flying colors. There's also the expression of cut the mustard, meaning the same thing. However, there is no pass mustard. And the cut the mustard is thought to be derived from the mishearing of pass muster in the first place. So this whole thing is truly a mess. Toe the line. All right? It's never supposed to be toe like you're towing a car. It's supposed to be toe, T-O-E, the line.
Toke the line.
Not toke the line. No, as much as we want it to be toke the line, it's not. It's toe the line. And then you got chomping at the bit. It's supposed to be champing at the bit. C-H-A-M-P.
Oh, that is... Now, that is British.
Because
I think chomp and champ is the same thing. I just think champ is more English.
Well, the horse isn't champing in the bit. Sorry. While chomping also means biting and chewing, the reference is an act of chomping. Of chomping breaks the chomped item into bits. So it's always supposed to be champing. All right, how about this one? People say... Nip it in the butt. It's not. It's in the bud. The bud.
I mean, everybody knows that one.
Yeah.
Nip it in the butt. You don't say butt. I mean, come on. Andy Griffith taught me it was bud.
Right.
He'll teach you.
He'll teach you all sorts of things. Also, there's no such thing as iced tea. It's iced tea. Iced tea. Now, if you're talking about rappers, there is such a thing as iced tea. That exists.
That's
in
a
rapping.
Good one. Yeah. I've never even thought about that one.
Final one.
I don't even know. Oh. Now I can't even remember how I used to say it. Did I say iced tea or did I say iced tea? I can't remember now.
You would say iced, well, ice baby, iced tea. That's vanilla ice. Sorry. Iced tea, I would say iced tea, and I should be saying iced, and I don't like iced tea, so it doesn't matter because I barely use the words because I don't like it. It tastes like somebody licked a foot. It's disgusting.
Right.
Okay, final one.
So Wicked Kitten in the chat room once says something about piqued my interest.
Oh.
Is it piqued? What is it?
Piqued. It's piqued your interest. You've piqued my interest. Okay, final one. A tough road to hoe. That's the mispronunciation. Any road would be tough to hoe with all that tarmac and concrete, but you don't hoe roads, you hoe rows. So it's a tough row to hoe. Not a tough road to hoe, a tough row, R-O-W-S, row. Hey, we've
learned
something.
First 13 rows were easy, but this 14th row.
Yeah, 14th row, good movie. No, that's 13th Warrior. All right, moving on.
Oh, that's right.
Let's talk about what we've been dinking with, and then we'll get to some of the news today. I have been back in WoW full blast because they dropped a big patch of some note this last week. And that patch included access to the allied races in the game. Now, if you don't know what that is or have heard of what's happening there in World of Warcraft, you may want to go look that up or listen to The Instance on the weekends, where we go into big, big depth. But suffice it to say, there's a way now in the game with the next expansion and this early patch to access two of the four upcoming, or is it three per side? Three per side? Four per side? Well, anyway, you're getting two so far, and there's more to come. It might be three total per side, six total in all. Anyway, of these allied races that can be Horde and then another set that can be Alliance. And the idea here is if you've done certain things in the game with those races, then you can unlock them. So, for example, I'll use these guys as the example. The High Mountain Tauren are a version of the Tauren folk, which are like the, you know, big cow looking people.
I know the Tauren. I love the Tauren.
Good. Oh, yeah, because you dropped one in Ragefire Chasm. That's right.
Yeah, they're my people. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, then you'll be happy to hear this, because these High Mountain Taurens are not cows. They're more like moose. They got big antlers and big old wide Araka antlers up here. And
I was about to get mad.
Mm-hmm.
And then you told me it was moose.
Yeah,
and now I'm not mad. I'm not mad at all.
And you're thinking, should it be mice? And then we have to look at that list again to see if we're saying it wrong.
Right.
But it's great big moose-looking dudes, and I've fought lots of time there in High Mountain, which is where they come from, and have killed many things in their honor. So they owe me, and I'm ready to roll one of those guys right now because I have the required reputation and I have the required achievement quest line stuff done. Those are the two requirements. So you have to have...
Oh, so I can't buy my way in?
No, well... No. Kind of. You could get into the game having not played forever, boost a character to 110, take right. that character who's 110 and go grind out this reputation and these quest rewards for the High Mountain or whoever, and then you could get it that way, but you still have to go do the work. So I've done all the work for them just naturally because I spent a lot of time in High Mountain and I'm all done with those guys. I can just go make one of those guys. Now here's the problem. Yeah. I don't want to make another Tauren that just has different headgear. Like, that's interesting to look at, but it's not really what I want to play. What I want to play is one of these Nightfallen freaking purple elf dudes that are all down there in Suramar starving for mana. Those guys are cool. And I always like them during the expansion because I just dig their whole vibe. I like their story. I like everything about them. And I want to make one of those dudes. And I remember saying, like a year ago, oh, man, I would love it if the next expansion would bring out some new races, and one of them should be these so we can get a proper elf, not these blood elf weenie heads we have now, but like a cool elf. And sure enough, you can do it. So I thought, well, I'd probably have everything for that, and I don't. I'm not even close, because I got kind of sick of the grind in Suramar and went on to other things like raiding and other stuff and kind of right. never went and finished. So I have quests to finish, and I have reputation to gain. So I have to go do those two things. It's not going to take that long. It'll be fine. But I don't just have it at the ready if I want to be one of these dudes. And I do. So I'm going to go. I've been cranking that out. That's what I've been doing in World of Warcraft, is cranking out that rep and getting those quests done
so
I can get my guy.
Be careful what you wish for.
I guess so. Kind of. I mean, well, I assume to be like the traditional way of, here's some new races and you can be them now, like they always do, right?
Right, that's what you would expect.
And it's usually one or two at the most in an expansion. They're introducing, I think, three total.
What are you up to, Blizzard?
Anyway, it's a pain. it's a pain because right. it's like a 12-part quest, and or longer than that even, and it gives you a ton of reputation. And I may have all the rep I need by the time I'm done with the quest line, but I just gave up on that story a while ago. And, oh, here's the fun part. One of the quests I was on when I left that area was bugged when I came back to it. So the lady says, give me the gift you said you'd bring from Jim Bob. And I said, okay, cool. I click her, and it says, give the gift to the lady. And I give it to her. She says, oh, thank you. For me, this is lovely, but didn't change the quest status. It just sat there. And I could do it over and over and over, like 20 times over. It didn't do anything. She just kept thanking me for a thing I wasn't actually giving her. So I had to reset that entire quest line, go do that whole thing again, go talk to the lady. Then she finally took it. All was well. Now, if I'm honest, it took me longer to try to work around it than it did to reset and just do it. Like life, Brian, like life.
Right. If I'm honest, that's how I live every day of my life.
Totally, me too. So
it's like, I can work around it. It'll only take 30 minutes.
Yeah.
6 hours later, I should have reset.
Yeah. And if you'd have reset, 10 minutes. Like,
yeah, piece of cake. That's how I ended up in the Wailing Caverns at the bottom forever.
Yeah. Yeah,
because I just said I could just, you know, no.
And chat room sharing in my pain. They're talking about how they've got to do a bunch of Argus stuff to get the rep they need to play Void Elves or the Light Forged Draenei, which is a new race for them. So yeah, everybody's got work to do in there. And my WoW list went from, you know, 2-3 guys playing in the day to like my whole playlist of everybody's in there right now. So very popular. Thing to do, return to WoW and do the new thing they're giving you to do, and by gum, that's what people are doing. Now, those who have the races or already had them unlocked or whatever, they can just start working on them and getting them ready for the next expansion, and that's what I want to be doing, so I'm going to get there at some point.
Right. It's a tough road to hoe.
Yeah, it's a tough row to blow.
Road.
What?
No. No.
I got that wrong? That's not right?
You don't. No.
So I've told you about 10 Tons before. You know who these guys are. They make
10 Tons. One of those guys.
They make Neon Chrome. They make Judge. They make Crimson Land. All fine dual stick shooters over the years. All good stuff. Recently, they've really been putting out a ton of stuff. I want to say they put maybe 2 games out last year and already a third out this year. I was telling you about Tesla versus Lovecraft last week.
Yeah.
Well, because I was all into that stuff and I was kind of, I mean, it was great just to zen out to those games. They're really good. And if you just want to park your butt in front of a screen and just play a thing that doesn't require you to make a bunch of decisions, it's not just constantly pulling your brain around like a piece of taffy. It just says, you know, play a game. Here's some mechanics that are fun and repeatable and they feel good. And when you're done, you've unlocked some things. And so you got more stuff going in next time. So you get your little roguelike stuff going on. If that's what you're looking for, you cannot go too bad with any of the games I just mentioned. They're all great at that. However, there was one I hadn't tried. Came out last year after Neon Chrome. So there was Neon Chrome.
It looks like Neon Chrome.
It does. It's a similar, same engine. It's a little bit different, though, but a lot of it's the same. Same perspective, same kind of engine, same gameplay, you know, core gameplay anyway. But this thing actually has a story and a campaign and a time travel and time manipulation mechanic that's pretty nifty. So what you do, it's like a comic book, this one, that artistically they're trying to tell you a comic story. And so a lot of the interface is very comic-y and that sort of thing, comic bookish. And same with the color schemes and stuff. And I'm in 1987 with this group that's trying to go back in time and do weird things. To be honest, I'm not that up on the story.
So
I just know I'm...
Are they... In 87 and trying to go even further back in time?
Yes.
Or are you from the future and in 87?
It is 87 and they want me to go back to like 81. So it's only like 8 years or something. Not even that.
That's weird.
Yeah, it's a little bit weird. I went back as far as 78 for something. I forgot what it was. It was maybe the beginning of this time travel stuff or something.
It was your bell bottoms.
Yeah, maybe. You forgot them. But it's the best way I could explain it would be it's a bit like Hotline Miami. But it has this mechanic where the guys are really hard and they'll one-shot you and you're dead. So you got to be, you know, kind of like Judge that way. You got to get in there and be careful. So what happens is I'll go into a room, the guys to kill. If I can connect the first billet with the first guy, time slows down and I get this like clock around me. And it counts down until that stops. But during that time, everything turns into bullet time, kind of Neo time. Except me, I can still move at the speed I want to and shoot at the speed I want to. But everybody else goes into like that, right? So what I get to do with that is all these great combos. Headshot, 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 gut shot, boom, bam, bam, bam. Fly through the wall, kill two more guys. And if I can keep comboing that, it keeps my clock wound up so that I've got more and more of this like slowdown. And it just makes it easier to kill stuff, but also very satisfying combos and stuff like that. And then when the timer runs out, everything's back to full speed and, you know, you try to kill, you get your next first kill, and then it slows down time again. It's this, the entire thing is based on that mechanic. That, and I have a wall rush thing that I can earn by getting time kills. I can earn this wall rush thing with the left trigger that lets me fly through a wall and just decimate whoever's in my way. Kind of Hulk style.
That sounds cool.
Not Hulk. Right. Who's the Marvel character that runs through walls?
Juggernaut.
Juggernaut. It's like Juggernaut. That's what it reminds me of. Some walls you can't break through. They're too thick and reinforced. Some you can. A lot of stuff is destructible, shooting it like Neon Chrome was. It's a very different point, or let's see, sorry, a different progression or a different different kind of game than Neon Chrome. Neon Chrome is kind of, here's a random place, and here's a thing you do, and when you come back, we'll send you again. And, you know, it's mission-y. This thing is more, it's missions, but it's like, do it your own, you know, kind of the world's a puzzle, figure it out.
Right,
and
right.
I really, really, really like it. So I played a lot of Time Coil, and I think you guys should too. It's often on sale, even at full price. It's $15. Totally worth it. I want to say this is also on iOS and Android.
It's on the iOS. It's usually like what, around $5 on the mobile devices.
Nice and cheap.
Yeah,
I have Neon Chrome there as well. I played that with a controller on my iPad. It was great. I also have it on Steam.
Crimson Neon in the chat room says Neon Chrome is on sale for $3.74 on Steam. I suspect Crimson Neon is
Neon Chrome is that cheap on Steam right now? That's a dumb that's a dumb thing to miss, you guys. Seriously, that's so good. I mean, you need a controller. I mean, you can play the keyboard, but it sucks. Just have a controller. I've got a Xbox One controller hooked up. Get that for that price. That's stupid cheap, and it's really fun and. That's a great game. All of their games I played have been wonderful for me. And not only that, if you bought Crimson Land a long time ago when it was just a basic, that thing came out in like 03. And when it first came out, it was just kill wave after wave after wave. And it was popular for what it was, but that was all there was to it, really. When I bought it again, recent years, kind of the same thing. Then I got wind that they updated it all and tweaked it. And that it was way more progression-based, unlock-based, all this stuff. And I thought, how are they doing that? So I went to go check. Sure enough, they added a whole new layer of gameplay stuff in there, but it still plays like Neon or Crimson Land. Totally worth playing that again too if you're bored. But I've got like every 10-ton game in there, and they all beckon to me right now. I feel like playing one of them. And instead, I'm doing a podcast with you like some kind of weirdo. Oh, it's on Switch also. Wait. That's true. So Switch has Judge. I have Judge on Switch and PC. I wish it was save compatible. That'd be great, so I could track my progress between both, but whatever. And this one here, Time Recoil, is also on Switch, I think. So anyway, it's good stuff. It's really good. Oh, Neon Chrome Arena is $5. I don't know what Arena is. I haven't played with that. I'm sure there's some kind of nonstop time-based mode or something, but the progression system in Neon Chrome is really cool. It's a good. These are great games. So, and Judge is
right.
Judge is still probably my favorite. I'm not 100% sure on how I feel about Judge. Now that I'm playing Time Recoil, I might this one might rival it. But their big hit lately has been that Tesla versus Lovecraft, because I think those names really sold it. Like, it's really just another one of their games. Right. But the fact that you've got these two names and this, you know, all the nerds freak out about Tesla and Lovecraft, they love it.
Yeah, so. It's a great concept, right? You immediately know what you're playing. Yeah. It's very descriptive.
Yeah. So it's good.
Yeah.
And Rick Fu, I don't blame you. That is where you should look. Switch first for stuff, especially stuff like this. It runs great on the Switch. Like, I have nothing but good things to say about their games on Switch. So anyway, it's really good.
I want to go back and play the Tesla game.
You should. It's good.
Lovecraft.
Yeah, it's really good. We should try to, it's not on sale. It's too new, but yeah, you should try to, I mean, not that everything needs to be a deal, but every once in a while these things are on sale. For Brian, it does. That's what I'm trying to say. For Brian Dunaway, it better be on a sale or a demo, or he's not in.
Right,
which is fine.
I can't help you.
What are you playing this week?
Oh, okay. So I think I talked about this a couple weeks back, but I revisited it. Little Nightmares.
Yeah.
It's a horror platformer of sorts. And I didn't get past the first act last time. Mm-hmm. And so I felt kind of disappointed because a lot of the marketing that I've seen is this little kid in little rain slicker outfit is going up against all these scary looking. Remember the Tool videos?
Yeah.
The music band Tool.
Dude, what was great about Tool is Tool always meant that anybody, if they were like humanoids in their videos, they were covered in ash and they were naked and they were Asian old men in the corner all the time. Isn't that
and
true?
And there's a lot of, right. And they did some stop motion stuff too. And I really dug that. And so these characters that you go up against are kind of like that. They're kind of like the music video Tool to me. And so I was instantly attracted to that idea, but I only got through act one and I didn't really come across anything interesting. Just a bunch of dirty pipes. Yeah, so you know.
Wait, so you don't like it?
No, don't get me wrong. Wait.
Okay.
I did. I made it into the second act, and I started having fun because that's when it paid off for me. Now, you may have fun with it because you may like the idea of running around with a little kid in a rain slicker in dirty tubes and, you know, all these creepy elements and also hunger pains. So you'll be running along and you'll have these hunger pains and you'll just double over and you can't really move. You start slowing down.
Wait, is there like a feeding mechanic? You got to feed the kid all the time?
Yeah, you do, but it's not like you come across, it's not like you find something and you eat it, but you do. It's story driven. So when you come across something to eat, it's really on rails. So, you know, it's just kind of like, oh, here I am in this section and there's food and it's kind of on rails. It just kind of, you end up eating and you're better and then you keep going. So it complicates some of your puzzle solving because you may slow down in a place where you need to be going fast.
I see.
Yeah. So, but I finally made it, like I said, I made it to the second part, which is I got into the prison and then I got into the lair. As you can tell, this is a real fun, upbeat game. It actually is. It's kind of cute. It's cute
and creepy.
Horrific. And creepy, yeah. Kind of like a Tim Burton kind of thing. You know, it's like, what am I watching here? It's this kind of find it cute and kind of creepy all at the same time. Mm-hmm. But now I'm at a point where I've kind of really went against the bad guys. And there's like these guys with like really.
Sorry.
What's that?
I was trying to find a video and it was loud. I apologize.
Oh, so there's like this one guy, the first guy I come across got these really long arms and he has no eyes, so they're covered up. And so you have to like, you think you're going to creep behind him, but you can't creep behind him because he turns around and he chases you and he kills you. And he starts back at the beginning of the puzzle. And so this guy's freaking me the freak out. Okay, Scott, you could not play this game.
Okay. I'm freaking out now, just you telling me. So
it's super creepy. But it's, like I said, it's just a lot of fun. It's just intense. It's not overly intense. Like when I play Five Nights at Freddy's, that to me is almost a little too intense.
Yeah.
Because I allow it to be.
Yeah.
Whereas there's enough puzzle element in this game that even if you get killed, it kind of gives you the willies, but you know, you just move on. And, so now I'm stuck at a spot where I just couldn't figure the room out. So I quit.
Can you run out of food? Like never find the food?
No, there's no way to really truly die. You just get sent back. So, you know, you're trying to solve the puzzle so you can continue to the next part of the story. You die, you get sent back a certain ways. And it's kind of nice because there's not a lot of instructions. Yeah. There's not really anybody like holding your hand, telling you what to do. It's kind of like figured out as you go along. And so you have a lighter that you can light. And I found that which isn't all that often, you can light it. And it's kind of like a checkpoint. So there's no like clearly marked checkpoints or anything like that. It's kind of exploration, a lot of exploration.
I'm looking at some video here showing the chat room as well. Chat room, you're seeing it a little bit choppy. For some reason, the frame rate doesn't match up with my broadcast, but on mine, it's 60 frames and it looks really pretty. Like, like super cool. I need to play it. I have it in my damn library. It's just sitting there.
You should totally play it. Velvet Tip says speed run. Yes, exactly what I want to do, because it is, that's the good thing about this game. If you get through and you kind of, you learn where everything is at. You could do a really good speed run. Yeah. I think it's going to be a lot for speed run.
Yeah. There's a guy in the middle. She walked by a guy hanging from some feet hanging by a chair.
Oh, yeah. That? There's some hanging. There's lots of shoes.
Yeah. Yeah.
In this game, there's a part where you actually fall into a ball pit of shoes.
Yeah.
All nasty, gross shoes. You assume they're either other kids.
Yeah.
There's impressions that there's other kids there that are being eaten, and that's what's going on. There's a lot of eating of flesh, but you never see it. You just assume it.
Do the controls feel floaty? The chat room's asking what I'm feeling. Is it because it looks like he's a little floaty and hard to grab onto things? Is that on purpose? Does it feel okay? Does it feel tight? Like, what does that
Yes.
feel?
Yes, and that's the thing. Yeah, he is a little bit floaty. It's a girl, I believe. Maybe I'm wrong. I've never really thought. For some reason, I assume that it's a girl. So anyway, yeah, it's a little bit floaty. On top of that, I must be, and I haven't read much about it. I've tried to avoid spoilers. I'm assuming I'm on some kind of ship or something that is swaying, because your platform is constantly just moving and swaying back and forth, which can create some disorienting feelings sometimes, because you'll be in an area where there's the piano that's tied up, and it'll be swinging back and forth, and that's how you can cover the area. But also, like, there's mine carts in certain parts where you have to, like, move it across a certain area, and they'll start moving on their own little bit.
Weird.
When you get them started. So,
maybe there, I don't know. Maybe there's some, I'm trying to see in this video I'm looking at, it looks like a house, but maybe you're right, because there is kind of like a rocking and swaying back and forth. Maybe that's just for scary.
Like I said, everything is that dark, dingy, rusted out pipe look everywhere you go.
Yeah. I like a rusty pipe, I can tell you that.
That's a rusty pipe. It's a good rusty pipe. I'm planning on finishing this game, though. One of the reasons why I picked this game up is because part of this year's goal for me was to play some games that I could actually finish.
Oh.
With average finish time for this game is about 4 hours.
Oh, okay, you can do that. Jeez.
I'm about maybe 2-3 hours in.
Yep.
And I'm definitely behind the curve. I'm not going as fast as other people, but I'm also just playing, you know, hour at a time, like once a week. And so I'm not like hitting it hard.
Yeah.
So I figure I'll probably finish in about 6 hours, but I'm having fun playing here on Twitch. I've been a broadcast yesterday on Sunday. I did the little broadcast while I did actually on Saturday. It's a lot of fun. It's a good time.
Saturday. That's how you know Brian's from South Carolina.
Saturday. Also.
Yeah.
Also, I picked up, did I tell you the other week that I picked up I started doing the Humble monthly bundle?
Yeah, I heard about this. You can get all kinds of cool stuff that way.
Absolutely. And the reason why is because I'm trying to have more purpose in my gaming as well.
Yeah.
And I felt, we've talked about this for the last couple of weeks, maybe even the month or so. I've tried to figure out, how do I narrow down my game plan, if you will. And I started by going, only games from 2017. And then I found out about this Humble monthly bundle, and it's got some pretty decent games. And most of them are from like 2017, maybe even some of the stuff coming into 2018. And I've decided just to every month just to plow through this. This is going to be my thing.
Yeah.
So this for February, I've got Life is Strange, which I've already played a little bit of, Tacoma, which looks really interesting. Civ 6. I'm going to probably wait until near the end of the month for that, because that's going to be one of those eat my time kind of deals.
Well, yeah, and also remember with Civ games, there's no like definitive ending. Like, it's not you can play it and finish it and go, I've finished the main game. No, the main game is playing it. Like, that's it.
Right. That's it.
Yeah.
And there's a couple of quicker games. Looks like Black, The Fall, Snake Pass, which is a real kind of cutesy game, The Norwood Suite, and Fortune 499, which I have no idea what it is. But what I did play was Owlboy.
Owlboy.
Have you seen this?
Yeah, I have seen
Owlboy.
I have, yeah. I haven't played it, but I've seen it.
Right. You've probably heard about it before, because it languished in development hell forever, because they started this game in 2007.
Yeah.
And it wasn't until November 2016 that it actually came out.
And wasn't Owlboy it's like a Castlevania style deal, right?
It's Kid Icarus kind of thing. Mm. Like, it's like those old Nintendo games. And it's kind of a high bit resolution, even though it's supposed to be kind of like low bit, and it's all these sepia tone colors. And you are an owl named Otis, but you're like a human owl, kind of weird thing. And you're capable, and you can fly and carry stuff. And when it gets interesting, I actually thought it's got might like this pretty good little platformer. And then you get to a point where you meet a friend who has a, he has like a little gun, a little pew pew gun.
Yeah.
It's, I don't even, it's not even lasers. It's more like energy balls. And he shoots these little energy balls. What you can do is, as Owlboy, you pick up your friend, and then you can control his gun using like a dual stick shooter.
Interesting. I'm into that.
So, yeah, so there's like,
you like this. The reviews are good, I think.
Absolutely. It's good. I will say this. It's a weird feeling. I mean, the story is weird, but it reminds me of all those old Nintendo games where you have this character who is just everybody's whipping boy. It's just, he's Owlboy, and his master, who is trying to teach him the ways, is just an absolute dick to him. And then everybody in the city is just bullying him. And it's just, you're like, why does he even carry on? I just fly straight into the ground. Get it over with.
Yeah.
But it's like I said, it has that old school Nintendo feel of when you feel like there's just like these overwhelming bullying going on for Owlboy, and he's got to come through it. But his good friend with the laser pistol, I can't really tell. He kind of looks like a leprechaun.
That ain't good.
He's kind of a leprechaun.
Hey, can you tell me if is that bundle still good or is it gone?
Oh, the monthly bundle? I think. Can you still pick it up? I know you can definitely pick up the upcoming, which is Dark Souls, but we'll see if you can.
Oh, here we go. February, January. Okay, January was, where is it?
Let's see if you can get that one. This was the February 2. Yeah, so you had to subscribe to get the next one. So you can't pick that one up
anymore. I want to get it, though. I desire it.
Right. Right. So now instead you get the March one, which is too bad because the February ones are really good one. But the March ones are really good, too. But you don't know. The good thing about the bundles, if you buy today, let's say you get the bundle today for March, you instantly get whatever game is like the feature game.
Yeah.
Last month it was Civ 6. This next month it is what? Did I say Dark Souls? What was it?
Dark Souls 3.
So you get that one today.
Yeah.
And you download that today. And then as it gets closer to March, they may release another one of the little bits in there, one of the other little games. And then in March, you get the whole pack. Also, you get. What I've also been playing is you get the Humble Trove games. So you get access to this Trove thing, which is where they do beta games and DRM free games to monthly subscribers. And so there's a lot of cool games in there as well. Like I just got, I just played, Getting Over It with Bennett
Foddy. Guy with his stupid hand. I hate that game.
I hate it, but it was interesting. It's like a whole different game mechanic that I think someone could make better use of. It's interesting. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
But there's probably like 20, 30 games like Torchlight 2, Hitchhiker, Amnesia, Alan Wake's American Nightmare. Nothing like going to blow your socks off. Sure. Going Home.
Sure.
But a bunch of just little DRM games you can download. Starward Rogue. Didn't you buy that one? And then return it?
Yeah.
Is that the same one?
I think so. Yeah. I do that.
Right.
I do that.
But these are all games you can, you can download them, and I guess you can keep them forever because they're DRM free. You just download them to your hard drive, and probably if you stop this monthly subscription and then deleted the file, I guess you'd be screwed.
I'm annoyed that I don't have freaking Owlboy. I thought I had it in a bundle or something I already got, or some fan had donated it or something. I can't freaking find it. So here's what's going to happen. You've got me all excited about Owlboy. I'm going to go buy it. And then somebody 3 weeks later is going to go, oh, here's that code I gave you. Don't you remember? And then I'll have paid money that I can't return. And then it was there the whole time. It's going to drive me up the frickin' wall.
But it's really good. It's a slow start, though, in Owlboy. Once you start piecing all the pieces together, it's pretty fun. It's kind of addicting.
I want to play it. I'm going to get in there.
Totally play it.
Get my hands on it. How's Hearthstone? You've been playing that a little bit?
I picked up Hearthstone just a little bit. I got it for the phone, and just when I'm sitting somewhere, I'm like, what am I going to do? But the only problem is right now, I'm just playing catch up. I'm like, I got like 20 packs of cards that I've accumulated from the last time I played that I never opened, apparently. And it's
should open those up. What are you doing?
Oh my gosh. What I'm doing. I'm like, oh, come on. And it's like, I open them all up. I don't care. Just open them up and then put them in a pack. I don't care.
Yeah.
Because it's just too overwhelming right now for me because I don't know what the cards really do.
No, this is what I was talking to. I was talking to Garrett on the Instance the other day about this. We were talking about it. And I have this idea. So if you didn't hear this on the Instance, you don't listen to that show, hear it here on this show, everybody. It would be great if Blizzard said, yo, here's a $150 deal. Click this button. Spend $150. What does that do for me? It gives me every card possible that isn't in wild, just in normal standard mode. Every card. $150, done. It's only a one-time deal. It gets me caught up. I don't need to worry. I can still open new packs and stuff for old wild cards if I want to play wild. But in standard mode, I just have the cards. I can make a competitive deck, and I don't have to feel like I'm always at the bottom of some ladder. That's how you'll get my money. And they're right. Sidian's right. They'll lose a crap ton of money because of that. I know. I'm just saying. Otherwise, I have very little motivation to get in.
Yeah, they would probably lose a crap ton of money. But I think it's plays to two different types of player. I'm not the player that really cares that much about the cards. I don't want to make the ultimate deck. I'm not into that. I just want a decent deck. I want to go into the Kaz. I just want to go into the casual play. Can I play against other casuals? You know, just put us in a little casual room where we can just kind of.
Well, you have that. There is the there's just, you know, quick play mode. You can play that. That's casual.
Yeah. But I want all the cards to do their thing. I don't want to deal with all the what's this card do.
And I know. I feel like I'm the same. And there's other card games I've been playing too that I like a lot. I like the Elder Scrolls game, Legends. I like. I've talked about it before, but I like Eternal quite a bit. And and I like Hearthstone. And the problem with all three of those or any games like them is the same problem. I don't really, I mean, I can go online and go, oh, here's a deck everyone says wins a lot that's for the Druid. Okay. Like, right. Oh, I don't have half these cards. Okay. Like,
yes, that's what I liked about the first part of Legends when I was playing.
Yeah.
It was, I felt like every card was introduced in the story. It's like, oh, here's the card, here's the introduction, here's with the framing of what's going on, here's the story. Whereas Hearthstone feels like, here's a bunch of stories.
Yeah.
But that's me. I'm not into it. See, it's not fair to say that it's bad because it's not, because for the people who really are into it, it is so good. Absolutely so good.
I was talking to Garrett, and he says he spends $360 a year on Hearthstone cards, and he still doesn't have some cards.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So you could do that and still feel like and be okay, but you'd still feel like you're missing stuff.
That's the whole gimmick, right? That's the reason why Blizzard is so successful at making so much money.
Yeah,
it's essentially gambling, right? I mean, it's
crazy bastards. By the way, it's Velvet Tits, Velvet Tit. Sorry, Velvet Velvet Tip in the chat room says Slay the Spire. I still playing that.
I still play that.
It's great, but it's not the same as what we're talking. This is not the same game. It's a totally different kind of game. It's a build the deck as you go, not a deck builder in this CCG sense. So it's a very different animal. And I love that game a lot. Like, there's really good stuff there. But
I learned how far I was behind I was when I started looking at YouTube videos on how to do Hearthstone. And the first one is like, Hearthstone for beginners, and I'm watching. I'm like, I'm gonna need something for sooner than that because you're talking lingo that I have no idea.
Well, this is actually, I have a complaint about YouTube videos in general, the ones that say they're helping you with things. Right. There's no standard for this. So, what happens is you get into YouTube, you're like, oh, I need a very good entry level tutorial on After Effects CC 2018, but I want to be the most entry level as possible. You click on one that says that that's what it is, and you get, hey, guys, this is Larry. Like and subscribe. Freaking, this is hard to hear. This is the worst experience you've ever had. Right? So the awful two-hour, like, horrible, awful-looking screens, like bad capture, like all that stuff. Then you find another one, and that guy's like, yeah, this is for beginners. Got great sound. He's even on video. Beautiful production value. But then he forgets that he's teaching noobs. He just goes straight into advanced stuff, even though the video says for noobs. There's no standard over there. So I can't go to YouTube.
There needs to be a vetting process. Maybe a third party with a vetting process. Metacritic for YouTube.
Well, somebody could go in there and do that and say, I've curated the YouTube videos I believe to be the best for the results you're looking for. Yeah. Be a third, like another. Google doesn't have to do this. Somebody else can do it. And just be like a layer of you know, predictability, because otherwise what I always end up with is the horrible ones. Like, I'm like, oh my gosh, I just need to figure out where this replace line is. I know it's a function. I just can't find it. Hey, everybody. Don't forget to like and subscribe. Freaking, hey, y'all, it's your boy, Chris.
Man. And let me tell you something about a tutorial video. Tutorial videos don't need a story. I don't need a story when I'm trying to figure out how to do something. Just facts.
Show me how to do it. Cut the cord and get in there. I'm with you. We've made a big change today. I'm sure the world's a better place for it. Let's get into the news. Nintendo wants to extend the Switch's lifespan over the traditional and expected 6 years that you'd see with a console like that. Nintendo president Tatsumi Kimishima has intentions to...
I think it's Kimishima.
Okay. I want to throw extras in. I can't help it. Says he has intentions to support the Switch beyond the usual Nintendo home console lifespan. Speaking to Japanese financial paper Nikkei, he said he wants to continue selling Nintendo Switch more than 5 or 6 years. In other words, he wants to continue to support that thing beyond 2023, thus granting it a longer lifespan than past Nintendo home consoles. That would put it in the support range of 7 to 10 years. Most Nintendo home consoles have had lifespans between 5 and 6. GameCube went from 01 to 06, the Wii 06 to 2012, and the Wii U 2012 to 2017. That last one being a very short lifespan. Sure. I mean, why not? I think that thing's got legs. Its use cases are broader than just how much power is it capable of. Maybe more than ever. I mean, the Wii always felt underpowered in some pretty serious ways, and so did the Wii U in some ways. This is enough to do some really rad stuff for a long time. If you're buying it because you want the latest high-def, cutting-edge graphical stuff, you're in the wrong department. You should never do that with Nintendo. That's somewhere else you should be. Like, right now, it's the Xbox One X is what you should probably be buying if you want the most cutting-edge hardware. Although we have an email later I want to talk about with that. We'll get to it.
I find it interesting they picked a time that they're bringing in more outside games, it seems like to me. They're a little more graphically intense.
Yeah, I mean, they're capable of more. Third parties are going to have a better time here than they did the last two generations, for sure. But there's still some question about that. It's also becoming a really fun little indie console. I don't know. Mm-hmm. They got to be careful. I mean, I wouldn't even say this stuff if I were them. I would say we plan on supporting these devices for as long as possible. And then let the market decide. If you keep putting really great content out and people keep buying it, great. Keep supporting it. Don't have some deadline. Deadlines are weird.
It is weird, but I got to say that they're selling so well, it's kind of weird to do it. But it does make me kind of lean a little bit more towards, well, maybe I do want to get a Switch. I have a Switch, but it's the family Switch. So I thought I'd get myself one.
Yeah.
But with that statement, it makes me kind of go, maybe I want one for myself. I just have one for me.
That's what I do. Mine's right over here. It's charging
for
right now.
For me.
Yeah, for me, not for
so
my
in
kids.
That, in that as, right. In that aspect, it's a success, but do they really need it? And all they're going to do is fail, right?
Well, are they?
Either they'll either get it right, or they'll fail.
Yeah.
They'll reach expectation or they'll fail.
Or they'll fail. There's two ways to go.
Right.
I hope it's the one way. Here's one way to do something really weird. Far Cry 5, which comes out. Where's the date? I don't have the date. Soon. Soonish. Far Cry 5 DLC was announced. They're going to add the following things to the game. Now, the game at its core is this controversial story about right-wing fundamentalism in the middle of Montana, and you trying to survive in a place where they're trying to kill you. Come here, boy! I'm gonna shoot you! Kind of stuff. And there's a lot more to it than that, obviously, but their DLC is interesting because it is nothing like that. This is Ubisoft, announced the details of the Far Cry 5 Season Pass. The upgrade will include an updated version of Far Cry 3, as well as three bizarre new pieces of downloadable content. Zombies, Martian spiders, and time-traveling trips to Vietnam. Yeah, you heard me right. Rather than expanding on Far Cry 5's controversial storyline, they're heading to completely different locations. Dead Living Zombies is the first DLC that will pit players against hordes of the undead and a zombie-infested wasteland. Gosh, zombies. Nobody does those. Hours of Darkness takes place in Vietnam, where you go to do battle against the Viet Cong.
Now, that interests me. I don't know why.
I don't know how I feel about it yet. It's too weird. It's weird. It's a weird thing to throw in there. Don't you think?
It's a little bit weird. I like it.
Okay. Finally, Lost on Mars. You get into a spacesuit and you drop onto the red planet to fight giant spiders. So that's the thing you do. All experiences stand in stark contrast, like they say, to the controversial right-wing extremism story in rural Montana. They seem more in line with something like Blood Dragon or Cyberpunk Adventure, where fans are surprised to find released as a standalone expansion of Far Cry 3. That was a cool game. Blood Dragon. It's fantastic. It's like the 90s in that. It was really good. Anyway, that's that story. And I don't know. That game continues to interest me. I'm actually more interested in that storyline and their take on it than I am almost anything else. So
I didn't think I'd want a season pass for anything. Right now,
you might
for
this.
this kind of makes me want to get a season pass.
Have
for
you
Far
ever
Cry.
Bought a season pass for a game before?
I never have. Borderlands. I think I had a season pass for me. I think I got a deal though. It was limited.
You got a deal though. Oh, a deal though.
Got a deal. I got a deal though.
Oh, gotcha. So. Sweet. You got to get that D. No, I
got a deal though.
I thought I misheard that for real.
It is hard for season. So obviously, if you've never acquired a season pass for anything, so are you opposed to it?
No, I think season passes are fine. They're going to save you money on DLC you might buy anyway. And here's the thing: right. I never get the season pass because I feel like I'm being tricked or something. But then I end up getting all the DLC and paying more, so I'm the one who's dumb. So I'm not saying my way is the right way, everybody. I realize I goof with that, but I've never pre-ordered a season pass for any game ever. Now,
this
I might
be a
do it if they,
thing because
if they do it, if they do it for Red Dead 2, probably do it there.
I don't even know if I will for Red Dead 2.
Oh, you're crazy, dude. I'm so excited.
I was so disappointed in the Red Dead Zombie.
You're insane. That was the best DLC for any game ever back then.
That was the worst.
Incorrect. Here's what they did. This is how this should go. And that's why I actually think this is interesting from Ubisoft. Red Dead was Rockstar going, all right, here's your main game. It's awesome. It's great. Oh, our DLC is going to be released on Halloween. And it's an alternate story where zombies are everywhere and your wife gets killed and your kids get killed and you're the guy to go avenge everybody. It was awesome.
I think the marketing failed me because the alternate story aspect of it didn't hit me until after I played about an hour and I was thoroughly pissed.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because I had really invested into these characters for months. And then I got the DLC and I'm like, what are you doing to me here?
But you say that.
Destroy my characters.
No, because you say that as if those characters didn't have some. I don't want to be a spoiler. Well, it's been, what was it?
Oh my gosh, spoil it already.
That game came out in 2010. All right. So if you haven't already known this, you're in spoiler territory for 2010. And if you don't know it now and you call spoiler, I'm going to smack you. So here it is. I'm spoiling something for people who maybe didn't know this.
If you're time traveling from 2010.
Right. Our boy John Marsden dies at the end of that game. Now, the DLC comes out. Guess who's miraculously alive? John Marsden. Alternate story. It's like we're doing a whole other thing here with these characters that's got nothing to do with the main story. So I contend you're wrong on this because knowingly...
Guess who hadn't finished the main story?
Oh, well, that's a whole nother bag of chips. That's you. That you just needed to finish that damn story. Because it wasn't that, well, it was a pretty long game, but it wasn't that long, and you would know that. Did you ever finish it? Did you ever beat Red Dead?
Not after the zombie. I was like, I'm out of here.
Well, the zombie thing didn't kill them. I mean, they that was, like I said, it was a one-off where some people who were alive in the Red Dead universe were killed in the zombie stuff, and some people who were dead in the real universe were brought back for it. So it was just like this weird, you know, the episodes of like Community where they would all be stop motion or they would be in a black and white thing or something.
Yes,
it's
yes.
like that. They're like one.
Oh, I get it. I mean,
it's like Simpsons
like
Treehouse
Simpsons.
Of Horror. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, it's just like that. I mean, I get it. I just didn't realize that's what it was when I got it because the other zombie things I had seen kind of like it was outside our primary characters. It was like, oh, well, we're all gonna hang together and we're gonna fight zombies together.
You're insane.
And it's just like it totally changed everything for me. And I just couldn't, and couldn't that revive.
That put you off the rest of the game.
I couldn't revive my passion for it. So it ruined it for me, but it's just a combination of bad timing. I hadn't finished certain parts of it yet. And
Do you remember that part where I drove you and Nicole and everybody off a cliff in a thing? The carriage? We were like
Charlie Brown constantly. It's like, get in the wagon.
I really like that multiplayer. I hope there's something rad in that. They haven't mentioned.
Oh, that was so much fun. I couldn't stand Nicole though. She was the worst.
Yeah, big old pain.
I love Nicole in real life.
She was the worst
in Red Dead because we'd be going along and everything would be sweet and nice and we'd all be cooperating. And then she'd shoot me.
Maybe I'll get an Xbox One X for that game because I don't know. That's probably a bad investment, isn't it? Because buying a big console for one game for $500? Come on. That's a bad idea. And I won't get DLC season passes. It makes no sense. All right, let's move on to whatever we got next here. Oh yeah, this, check this out. So I didn't even know this came out. I'm super ticked it even went past my radar. I'm so pissed about this. This is not even what the story's about. The story's about how a game predicted the Super Bowl, and that's always happened with Madden and other football games. So that's not even the big story for me here. It's that Mutant Football League, not Mutant League Football. All right, Mutant Football League weighed in on the final Super Bowl prediction. Tecmo Bowl already called it for Philadelphia. Madden countered with a New England victory. Boo.
What?
Yeah, I know. They suck. And then the tiebreaker has to come from Mutant Football League, a game that came out 2 weeks ago, and I didn't know about it! I want to play this so bad I can barely stand it. All right. Mutant Football League, says the Patriots... Sorry, the New England Harlots, or Hatriots. They're called the Hatriots. pull out with what appears to be a record-setting field goal to complete a comeback from 21-0 in the second quarter. Okay, that did not happen. But I don't care. The story here is the buried headline that there is a game out right now called Mutant Football League for the PlayStation 4, Windows, PC, and Xbox. What? How did I miss this? You know I like these. These are my favorite sports games of all time. Mutant League Football back in the day on the Genesis and Mutant League Hockey. I lived and breathed those games for years and years and years. They were my sports games go-to. I love them. And I know there's a hockey game in the works already called something. I forgot the name of it. And I'm looking forward to that. But I really want a Mutant League Football game. This is literally called Mutant Football League.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it's good. Has it been good? Does anyone review this?
Well, if you head over to Steam, you can pick it up for a measly $20, and it's getting very positive reviews.
Okay.
Came out in October 31st, 2017.
How did I miss this?
I don't know. I thought the same thing. I was like, they got a new one? I thought they'd actually brought out some emulation. I'm like, what do they do? They like hack it or something? I'm like, oh, this is a current game.
Oh my gosh, look at this.
Isn't that awesome?
You guys?
And just in time for football season. Oh, wait.
I'm buying this. Okay. I love post-apocalyptic sports games. They're my favorite. There was the old Atari one in the arcade that was like a robot. You're like a bunch of robot players. Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Look at these guys. Big green mutant-looking dudes. Skeleton man throwing the ball. I'm buying this game as fast as I can. Yeah, you heard me right, F, and this is great. I'm buying this today.
Aliens.
I'm getting it today.
Getting it right now. What are you talking about?
How the hell did I miss this? I assume there's a two-player mode. Question. It's got to be. Multiplayer, right? Do they have traps? They have traps! They have holes.
Yeah, single player, multiplayer.
Oh my gosh.
Online multiplayer, local co-op, shared split screen.
I'm so in. This is the best day of my life.
Right.
I mean, getting married, kids being born, that stuff's fine. But
right. What'd you think about Blood Bowl, Jay?
Blood Bowl is, it's based on the old Warhammer game,
right.
The board game, right?
Right.
So that's cool, and I think that's a nifty thing, but the game's this like kind of turn-based strategy, and it's fine, but it's not real-time football. I need real-time tackle-do-shit football.
Mutant League.
I'm getting it. I'm buying it today. That's $20 I'm spending. That right there, that $20, gone.
Out. Do they have a season pass?
I don't care. I'll buy it. You guys have no idea. And the fact that it's reviewing well has got me so excited I can barely look at any of you people right now. Oh, I'm so excited. Anyway, all right, Mutant League Football. It's here to stay. I mean, I hope it's good. Mutant Football League. So I'm going to have a hard time remembering that.
It's getting great reviews. If it's not good, it's on you.
Is it on me then?
Yeah.
All right. I'll take it. Let's talk about PUBG. The anti-cheat maker banned a 50 million players in January. The game has had a million people banned from PUBG because of cheating. Good Lord. Anti-cheat software provider BattleEye said it banned more than 1 million players from the PC version of the PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds in January. According to its Twitter account, that's more than two-thirds the number of cheaters that were banned in all of 2016. We have banned over 1,044,000 cheaters, they say. Unfortunately, things continue to escalate. It is a cheater's dream right now, that game. Everyone's cheating all the time. BattleEye describes itself as the gold standard in anti-cheat software, founded in 2004. It has been used to protect games like Battlefield and the Arma series, including Battlefield 1942 and DayZ. It is a proactive solution, meaning that it actively searches for unwelcome software on people's computers. Using data collected from BattleEye, developers and publishers are able to enact both Steam ID and account-based global bans. So the guys at PUBG can just go, oh, these 500,000 people cheated, boop, they're gone.
That's just crazy.
Yeah, dude.
What a big sweeping broom. Just whoosh.
Yeah, that's crazy. It says here at the time, a total of 322,000 cheaters have been banned from the game, more than a double the number that had been banned in the 7 months previous. BattleEye said that at the time, they were banning players at a rate of 6,000 to 13,000 people a day. That current rate, though, that's January. That's last. That's last year's figures. Listen to it now. In January's figures are if they're accurate, that rate is now 33,700 bans per day. That's one person per every 2.5 seconds.
Wow.
They have a problem.
You're banned.
They have a problem, dude. It's serious, too. It's like, whoa, I didn't mean to do that. It's just like super big issue in that game. Like, I know.
You imagine any other? Most games couldn't ban a million people from their player base.
No, because they don't have a million people in their player base.
That's right.
This is like World of Warcraft when they, I remember one time they did like 500,000 bans of cheaters in Warcraft. And I remember thinking, that's the entire player base of EverQuest gone. Just wiped off the face of the map. So it's a relative number problem, but. I have friends who were hardcore PUBGs from the beginning till now, players, and they've all moved over to Battle Royale, Fortnite, yeah, because they...
Oh, interesting.
They're just like, I can't do the cheaters anymore. It's killing the game for me, so... And it's not like they don't have cheating problems to deal with over there. That game, that player base is also huge, but they got a lot of engine stuff that kind of stops things, I guess. I don't know much about that, so don't take my word for it, but I believe that's one of the reasons.
Well, you know, it's just a growing pains thing. I mean, I remember Minecraft, you know, at first was like, oh, this is great and it's so open and everything's great, and then all of a sudden you started getting people that's just griefers, just everywhere you turn somebody was griefing your crap.
Yep.
And then they were able to stabilize it.
Did I tell you about Mutant Football League? Did I tell you that's a thing?
You didn't, but I wish you would. So what happens? Are there mutants in it?
I'm getting it. Yeah, they play football.
See, I wouldn't be disappointed if everybody was zombies in that.
Of course you wouldn't. Let's get to an email here from David, who wrote into boopshow@gmail.com and says the following. This is going to be a hard one, but here we go. I try to listen to your boot podcast, but you continually diss on the Xbox unfairly. You also continue to get your facts wrong about the Xbox. Please, if you're going to hate on something, please at least try to get your facts straight. I'm reading it in the voice that I appear that this seems to be written in. I was hoping that Brian would add the view to the show since he does not use an Xbox, but you continually shut him down. Do you feel like I shut you down?
Yeah.
Say something about the
Xbox.
Say something. Say something about the Xbox. Go.
Well, Scott, maybe the best console has ever been made.
See, I don't cut you off. It's fine.
No.
It says, no, the Sony PS Pro doesn't have UHD player in it. I know that. Both the Xbox S and X do. I know. I was aware of this. Also, they have changed the dashboard a lot, so it's very easy to buy and launch games. That's an opinion thing. I'll give you the other bit about UHD, but it's an opinion thing that that interface has improved that much. Okay? And that's fine. Some people like it, some people don't. I'm not saying they got to be like me. I'm saying it's a little rough around the edges. That's all I'm saying.
But it's awesome.
Yeah?
Yeah. Oh, you're letting me talk? I'm not used to this.
Don't give him fuel. Don't give him gas to dump on this fire. Because that's what you're doing there. All right, let me finish. I'll finish what he says, and then we can have a discussion. He says, I hate both the Xbox One X and the Sony... Or sorry, I have both, not hate. I have both the Xbox One X and the Sony PS4 Pro. He says he uses it for VR. But third-party games just look better on the X in 4K, and you don't even have to have a 4K TV. I agree. They absolutely do. He's going to be surprised about my answer here at the end, why I tell people that I don't recommend getting an Xbox right now. But anyway, says I'm a patron and will continue to listen to TMS, but I have had to shut off the Boop Show a few times because of the hate you spew. All right. David, I am not spewing hate. I have no hate for it. I have said multiple times, I wish Microsoft was doing better this generation in terms of sales and adoption and third-party support and first-party game support. They lag behind. It's just the numbers. It's not me making it that way. That's the way it is. Right now, that thing is in a huge loss lead to Sony. For good or for ill, that's where they're at in the marketplace. Now, the reason that's bad is that means that Sony's machine, though lesser capable, and you're right that it is, 100% right, that the Pro and even the S are better choices than a standard PS4 and a PS4 Pro when it comes to raw hardware and capability. No question at all. They are the hot Ferraris of our time. Okay? Especially the X. That being said, none of that stuff really matters in the end if you don't have the base you need to get stuff done. And I don't mean they have to be in the same kind of huge first place position that Sony's in right now. They just need to be not as far back as they are. Their exclusives, especially for the fall season, were abysmal. They had nothing to launch aside that Xbox One X except for Forza, which always looks good anyway, and that's a beautiful game, but that is a limited, narrow audience of car aficionados that were really into car simulations, and that was not enough for a $500 purchase for a lot of people. Now, some are going to say, all I play is third-party, and most third-party games come to the Xbox. Great. That's one you should probably get then. But if you just look at the numbers and say, who's got the biggest first-party support, the most variety of games, and sheer amount of stuff to get from third parties and first parties, it's Sony right now. That's just the breaks. That's the math. That being said, if you're like, I only care about Halo, or I only care about games that Microsoft's going to make, or I must have the best hardware on the market, get the Xbox One X, because you're right. It is that. It is the best piece of hardware on the console market, period. The PlayStation Pro doesn't touch it. Neither does the regular PlayStation or anything in between. So he's 100% right about that. To call that hate is a little biased on your end. I'm not biased against Microsoft. I loved the 360 and I loved its position in the market. It was great. And that was my go-to console for that whole generation. It's just not that way now. So
right. I don't think we've told anybody not to get an Xbox. Matter of fact, I don't think we usually talk about, suggested what console you should get or anything like that. We usually just talk about what we would personally like. And I do. I want the Xbox One X, and specifically for the 4K capabilities, because that's what would fit in what I'm doing. I haven't seen the dashboard yet. I still I haven't really played around with that. I try to keep up with Xbox news, but I'm kind of lagging behind since I don't have one. And so I don't usually talk much about it. And I am interested to see where it's going, because Microsoft is, there's rumors going around that Microsoft's looking to pick up a game studio to kind of beef up.
They have game studios, and I would love it if they got more. Yeah, I mean, that beefing up first party would be wonderful, no question. They also have the best game subscription offer available. It's like Netflix for games. Their Game Pass thing, or is that what the new one's called? I forget.
That's a good question.
That's where you get all the games you want. That are in the library anyway, just by paying a subscription. That's awesome.
Right, right.
And if Sony doesn't end up doing that, they're making a huge mistake. Like, there are some definite rad directions Microsoft's taking. That's not what I'm saying. And also here in the chat, Sidian says, I like that Scott has proceeded to dump on an Xbox for 5 minutes in response to a complaint about dissing the Xbox. I'm not dumping or dissing. I am talking about factual data here. So if somebody came to me, a kid comes to me and says, Gosh, Mr. Johnson, I just don't know where to put my money. I'm going to recommend a PlayStation because there's way more for him to do on it. And so he's going to get a bigger bang for his money right now. That may change in 6 months. I don't know. But that's how it is right now. It's not because I don't like it or hate it or diss on it. That's all bullshit. Everything everybody says about that
I think the truth of us not giving enough love to Xbox is probably true. And it's just simply because I don't have that right now. So I would love to give Xbox more love. Oh, I'd love to.
Like I said, I may get one for Red Dead too. I'm seriously thinking about it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because I want to play that. And here's the reason. You want to know the other reason I might do that? Because Red Dead has no PC plans, at least initially. Neither did GTA 5, and they ended up doing it. So I firmly believe we're going to get Red Dead 2 on PC at some point. But the hottest hardware is a souped-up gaming PC. Like, that is the standard, the highest standard. Mm-hmm. Then you got Xbox One X, and then you've got PlayStation below that in terms of capability and hardware features and all that stuff. If Red Dead hits market and there is still no PC version coming out at least close to that, I'm probably going to get an X and probably get Red Dead for that because I don't want to play it on lesser hardware. I totally get that. And that's a third-party game I can count on being on the Xbox, and it'll have good support there. And so I'm also biased toward their, like I said, the subscription service. There are things that are making me go, all right, Xbox, way to go. You got some momentum here. You got some interesting ideas. Oh, yeah. And you've also got deep pockets. They're not going to go away. Microsoft's huge. They're not going to just dump this. So it's okay. I had Sony people tell me the same thing last generation. You guys shitting on Sony all the time because the Xbox 360 is so popular. No, nobody's shitting on anything. This is what market decisions are. Should I buy this or should I buy this? Well, tell me the difference between the two. And that's all I'm talking about. That's it. So where do you find your value? Hottest hardware? Go Microsoft right now. Do you find your value in biggest library? Best supported library? Go to Sony. Do you want cool portability and rad like TV mixed with handheld? Absolutely go Switch. Do you want the absolute best hardware possible? Go PC and be prepared to spend an extra $600-$700 on it than you would over an X. That's it. And then it's like Tondra Ghost says in the chat, Dreamcast for life.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. So this, I'm not, David, if you're listening, I'm not reaming you or calling you out. I just need you to understand where this is coming from. And it's easy from your perspective, like anyone does. This is who we are. People are naturally biased toward the thing they like. You're hearing me in the way you want to hear me. I swear to you, I've got no beef toward Microsoft. I just want to see them do better. And the better they do, the better we do as gamers, the better competition Sony has. They have to work harder. It serves everybody for Microsoft to have a strong position in the market.
Oh, yeah. I mean, Xbox Live kills it. And I love my PlayStation Plus sometimes, but that service can really,
it can
annoying.
Suck. It's not great, but they, and this is part of the problem, is they get complacent. And the reason that Microsoft hit the road a little rough in the early goings in 2013 of this generation was because of the same thing. They got kind of lazy and cocky. The last generation was a big win for them. And Sony did the exact same thing coming into that generation from the PlayStation 2, where they dominated. In 3, they had to really scrape and scrap to get back to where they needed to be, and they were never lead console, at least in this country, in Europe. At the end, they were all kind of equal. And that's probably what you'll see this time around, is at the end of all this, you'll kind of see an inequality there. But I'm just saying that it's kind of this, they keep switching these roles, and they always do. You know, Nintendo wasn't prepared for PS1 and its success, or it would have done better with the N64 than it did. It's the same thing. They come in, they do amazing work, they make somebody else look bad, they sell a ton of more consoles, and then the next time they get routed by the last guy because the last guy's more hungry this time. And Sony right now is getting lazy and cocky again. Mm. Oh, look at me shitting on Sony now. I'm shitting on Sony. Come here, Sony. Taking a big dump on Sony now. You guys, I'm just calling it like I see it. I don't have a bias in this. I don't have a chicken in this fight. Is that a phrase?
I believe it is. I don't have a chicken in this fight. Right. I don't think it's a chicken, though. I think it's the other thing.
I don't have a cock in this fight.
But I don't think it's...
I'm not supposed to say cock. That. Okay, got it. I shouldn't say cock. Ugh, I don't like saying that word. That's an email for you there, and you can call that email.
But thank you, David. Send us some more emails. Probably won't be able to. Don't listen to the show. Yeah. But hey!
Yeah, do it. Boopshow@gmail.com. All right, we're going to take our leave and get out of here. I want to thank everybody for listening, both live and on hard drive. You guys are all great. And again, keep those emails coming, boopshow@gmail.com. We are at frogpants.com/BOOP. That's frogpants.com/boop. You can also find us on Twitter at Boop Show. You can find Brian at The Brian Dunaway. You can find me at Scott Johnson. And what else? That's it. Oh, you want to support the show? Patreon.com/frogpants. That's a way to do it. And if you'd rather buy something on the store, you can do that. Frogpants.com/store. Or just go to Frogpants, click that store up there. That's cool. Hey, if you like D&D, you got a new show going on the weekends called There Will Be Dungeons. Details at therewillbedungeons.com. And we play every Saturday, 3 p.m. to 6 p.m. Mountain Time. Whatever time zone you're in, you can watch it live or check it out later on the podcast and or video archive on YouTube. Again, that is There Will Be Dungeons. We will be session 3 into our new campaign with me, Kyle, Kristen, John, and Bo. So check that out this weekend. Bo,
that was a lot of fun. I tuned in for a while.
It was fun. I saw your name in there. People got all excited whenever you show up.
Hey, what's up? That's about there.
Do you have do you have anything you want to pimp before we go? Anything at all?
Absolutely. If you didn't check it out last week, we talked to Obsidian. That's right, that guy from Extra Life Radio Days. We talked to him on Comics Coast to Coast. Caught with him what he's doing with his the Ministry of Abnormality. Recorded live on Twitch last Friday up against Current Geek. Sorry about that. But it is in the archives. You can go back and check it out on my Twitch channel, twitch.tv/Brian Dunaway. That's me.
That's very nice. You guys should do that. Do it today. Do it now. I think that's going to do it for us. Thank you all for being here. We'll be back next week with a brand new Boop Show. Until then, everybody listening to my voice, take care.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.